Hello, this is NY Bill.
And this is Marshall.
You got another name besides Marshall now, the online name.
Well, it's a bugger to pronounce, isn't it? It's,
right.
I think most people refer to it as Timmy.
Yeah. Oh, I always said Tim Timmy. I do two T's.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
This is my truth, tell me yours.
Right, right. You said it was from a song, but I didn't know the song when we first met, so I guessed.
Yeah. Well, this will be my first HPR.
Now, who did one that was like really short? Was that your brother?
Yeah, that was Andrew. Yeah.
That was
Cleavy.
All right. Yeah, it was... I talked to him after, and he said, like, Ken Fallon just appeared in front of him with a microphone in his face, and just said, start talking.
Yeah, we were at Old Camp, and Ken was having some issues with his Wi-Fi, and I think it was hardware failure in the end. His Wi-Fi card wasn't working, so Andrew just said, plug your Android in and use its Wi-Fi.
Right.
So Ken goes, that's brilliant. You've got to do an HPR on that. So
so it happened right then.
He got mugged with a microphone.
I made a joking reference to that at Northeast Linux Fest. Me and Pokey were going to go around, and I said, we're going to do it Ken Fallon style. And I was kind of referring to you guys saying after Og Camp that, you know, you'd just be standing there, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a microphone. So that's where I got that from. Kamikaze interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So am I cutting in or out at all? Or?
No, it sounds good.
Good.
Yeah, so this came about because you made the mistake of sending me an audio clip, and I said, "Aha, you do have a microphone." So now we have to do an HPR.
Yeah, well, I've actually recorded two and binned them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're one of those. That's my friend Ace Fury. He's got one. It's somewhere. He won't put it out.
I've done two. One with the 3G. Set up prior to the one I've got, which was running through the EPC, and one I recorded on Shuttle, but I've binned that as well.
I think that's one of the topics we were going to talk about tonight. Cause...
Yeah, yeah, that's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, first of all, the 3G thing, because this is interesting. You're down in Cornwall, and you've made jokes, or we've joked a bit about this, that they just ran one Cat 5 down and you all get to share it. So, you know,
that's that about the joke. Extent of it.
Yeah, so you guys are all on 3G, huh?
Yeah, I was on landline broadband till about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two reasons for turning it off. One, the first one was they're going to start charging me for it. It was bundled in with my phone before.
Oh, I see.
And in the village I am in, it's the best speed we can get is 2 meg. That is it. A lot of the village is on half a meg. So I started playing with the 3G. It's a lot faster. I usually get around between 4 and 8 meg, depending on the weather, the phone signal.
Yeah, we did a little test mumble earlier just to see how it worked. And yeah, there's no packets dropping or anything.
Okay. No, I've been amazed. It's been rock solid. The only problem I've had is the phone it's running through is my spare N900. And I put the power kernel, which isn't the standard kernel on it. And about once a fortnight, the phone will reboot itself.
Oh.
But, other than that, you just forget about it.
It must be nice just for mobility, just like leaving the house.
Yeah, well, I don't, because my wife uses it with her tablet and everything, so it is the landline replacement. It stays here.
And it's not cost prohibitive. I mean, over here, it would be like $90 a month for 1 gig.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah, you have to as far as I know, you have to just go get a cell phone plan, and you can opt to get a phone with tethering, or you can opt to get like a little USB dongle type thing.
Yep.
But it's a full cell phone plan.
Hell. I mean, you get the dongles here, and I think 7 gig is about 30 quid, £30.
Oh, man.
We're
just getting robbed over here.
Yeah. The way I'm doing, I think, is maybe bending the terms and conditions of the service of it.
Shh, we won't say that.
But it's been 6 months. they haven't cut me off, so we'll carry on. Yeah, basically it's a page.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, basically it's a pay-as-you-go plan. It's £15 a month for unlimited data.
I'm moving to Cornwall.
The SIM cards are a pound each. If they cut me off, it's basically a quid and another top-up. And that's it. Chuck it in the phone. I use the Qt tethering software on the N900.
Okay.
Plug that into a router. Well, I'm running OpenWRT. And just connect it to configure it to use the USB as the WAN port.
Are you saying that when you go home, you plug your phone into the router and it feeds the whole house, like through that one connection?
Yeah, well, it feeds the whole house. It's my spare one. It stays at home. It's just plugged in 24/7. It is literally a landline replacement.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it's worked fantastically. It's better than I ever thought it would.
I want one.
But yeah, it's literally plug and play with running it through the EPC.
I can tether on my phone, but then they want another, like an extra $20 a month, and I'm grandfathered in right now to an unlimited plan, and if I go do all this upgrading and get a new phone, they're going to want to put me on 4G. I'm going to get stuck to 1 gig a month, which we're sharing 3 phones right now. We'd go through that in like half a month. So
yeah,
it would be expensive for me to try and do this over here.
My actual phone, they call it unlimited data on that, but it's only a gig. So we had a conversation about that, but me and the provider, but they're still calling 1 gig. That's on Vodafone.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
Geeks can like go through that in a night.
Yeah. Yeah. I downloaded Backtrack 5 over 3G.
Yeah, pull in a couple ISOs and you're done.
The other night. Yeah.
But, oh, that's got a new name, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, Backtrack has a new name now. Calyx or something like that.
I don't know. I looked the other night and it's still coming up as Backtrack 5 on a search.
Oh, okay. I got just something. See, this is where those asides happen, because I'm actually looking at my computer.
Yeah, I've been having a few issues with the new laptop, doing some pen testing.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, well, rather than mess around too much, I'll just run it in a VM. But having a few problems there as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking at my hard drive now. It looks like it's Kali Linux, K-A-L-I Linux. It's like a last Backtrack I remember was Backtrack 5.
Right, that's one I've downloaded, Backtrack 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there might be like something newer out there. It's just the name changed. So.
Yeah.
Here's something else to test your unlimited data stream with.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull that in. Yeah.
Well, I'm on the laptop. I'm up to just under 11 gigs for the month.
Oh.
So over 3G so far.
Well, that's quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I've downloaded, I think I've done nearly 30 gig in 1 month.
And they're not cutting you off for that, huh?
No.
All right, cool. They don't say anything, you shouldn't.
No, you don't have to register the cards or anything. You just go into a news agents or a small supermarket and buy a SIM card for £1, pay cash for your top-ups, and it's completely anonymous apart from, obviously, they all know where the phone is.
Yeah, you guys mentioned that last time I was over there. Must have been 2010 Odd Camp, and you were saying that I could have, if I brought my phone, I could have got a SIM card and put it in, and I would have been all set. But
yeah,
I just left it home. I didn't even think that was an option.
Yeah, I'm going to Germany next week, and I've been looking, but I think it's still cheaper for me to stick with my usual plan.
Right. I just started laughing because I'm thinking back to when we were hanging out in the bar after Odd Camp 2010, and you and your brother go, all right, we'll be back in a minute. I go, oh, where are you guys off to? And your brother goes, we're off to get some elephant leg. And I said, what? Like, you guys had to explain to me what the kebab was. And
oh, that stuff's hideous. Yeah.
But you called it an elephant leg. As soon as he explained it, though, I remembered those big giant things in the window spinning around. I go, oh, yeah, elephant leg, makes sense. You guys have to remember whenever I'm over there, I'm jet lagged it's like I'm on cough medicine or something. I feel like half asleep, so you might have to explain some of them to me.
That's always more fun when you come over.
Oh, I couldn't make it happen the last few times. But,
no, it's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, but I hear it might change, too. It's quite expensive, like around August they were doing it.
Yeah.
Now Dan mentioned he might be doing it around October.
Yeah, so, hopefully.
I'll have to see.
Yeah.
So you were mentioning to me earlier, did this have to do with SSH tunneling?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because I was going to explain a few things. I was going to mention proxy change and how I SSH, but it sounds like you're onto something new here that I don't know about. So,
well, I've always used proxy change. Well, I've showed you my Bash RC before.
Mm-hmm.
For running a few apps like Hey Buddy and email and other things back home. Well, I was just looking through the AOR and I came across Shuttle.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this.
I think Kim through uses it as well. We've had a chat about it. From the man page, it's a transparent proxy-based VPN using SSH.
Hmm.
So basically, it runs everything right back through to home. You haven't got to worry about. You can even put your DNS requests back to your SSH server.
And where are they saying the VPN is running?
It's not actually a VPN. He calls it a poor man's VPN, but I wouldn't call it a poor man's VPN. It's bloody awesome.
All right. This is like a server client model. Like you run a server at home and then
yes,
you have a client
or,
on your mobile.
Yeah, or anywhere you've got SSH access to.
I see.
So I haven't tested it with what's the SDF one? I haven't tested with that yet. I've got my own SSH server running at work where the StatusNet server is now. It just tunnels all the traffic straight there. So
I think I need to look into this.
Yeah, so
I SSH tunnel every time I'm out of the house.
Yeah.
And I can tell Firefox to use the port, use that port. I can tell Thunderbird to use that port, but something like Hey Buddy is not aware of ports. So I would proxy chain it, which it sounds like this is like an extra step I'm going through where I could set up this shuttle and everything will go down the tunnel.
Yeah, shuttles a little bit more, well, proxy change can be a pain in the ass to get working. But shuttle, there's some good how-tos there.
Right.
The best one I found was on the MAMO forum for the N900.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you a link to that one. But,
sounds like our first show note entry.
Where's my book?
This is the sound of Tim Timmy clicking. Oh, yeah, you put it into the chat. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not going to make for a very good podcasting if I go read through that.
No. It's basically telling you how to set it up on the N900.
I'll have it for reference.
But
I'm still not clear, though, how when you leave the house, let's say you take your netbook out, are you starting up some type of client before you start any other programs?
Yes.
How are you making the tunnel happen?
Well, most of the time, the way it just explains it on the GitHub page is open a terminal,
mm-hmm.
and you just shuttle -vvr username at host, and you have to put your password in, either your sudo password because it needs sudo to run.
I see.
Or run it as root, but sudo. It asks for your sudo password, and then for your SSH password, which seemed a bit messy to me, and I like SSH keys. So that's how I came across the MAMO one, was looking for a way to do it with SSH keys.
Right.
Kim did send me a link to run it on one command line. With a -e, you can run a command when it gets on the server.
I see.
And that'll run it with the key. But this way seemed very tidy. Once you've set it up, you've got to create a profile in roots.ssh config, which is basically just the profile name, your username, the host name, the port, and then your key, the path to the key. And once that's done, you just type /r, and then the profile name, 0/0, and then...
Then it kind of creates a tunnel, and now...
Yeah, you'll see it
like every port locally will be forced through that?
Everything will be forced through that. You can exclude things if you want to, but I don't see why you would want to, unless it's for speed, because you'll be limited to your upload speed on the other side.
This sounds nice.
Started downloading an ISO the other night, and why is it so slow?
I
finally realised, I'm connected with Shadow.
You're tunnelling through everything, yeah.
Yeah, so just to finish it off, I then wrote a .desktop file and put a little icon in me tray. So I now just click an icon, it pops open Xterm, and you can see if it connects.
Oh, nice.
So, it seems to work brilliantly.
Yeah, I'll be looking into this. I have been using proxy chains, but then... Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm lazy or I forget, or a lot of times at the lug, it just gets so crazy with everybody talking. You know, I forget to proxy, like, a Hey Buddy or something like that. So
yeah.
And then this would be nice. When you get there, turn it on, turn on Shuttle, and just, you don't have to worry about it again.
Yeah, it's been working really well.
Nice.
So, I usually just test it with going to ifconfig.me just to check your IP address. Has changed. So it's got a static one at work, so I know if I'm connected.
So speaking of Hey Buddy, another thing that you've been getting into lately, you've been packaging everything for Jezra for up into the AUR, right?
Well, nearly everything. I've yet to look into...
Well, he keeps starting a new project every month.
Yeah, I really got to look at Blather, the new one he's
Blather.
Doing.
And Buddy, what's the one that the music one?
Mutton Chop.
Yeah, Mutton Chop. Yes.
Oh, I use that all the time. That's just a nice little app. I wrote a little pipe menu for OpenBox.
Right.
So I now just right click on the desktop and play my music.
So is this is something I've never ever looked into? Is it? Is it tough to package this stuff up?
No, it's the AUR makes it really easy. Basically just follow... What's the word I'm looking for?
Don't worry.
A template.
This all comes out in the edit magic.
Just follow a template. Once you've done one or two, they become really easy just to whip them up. The harder ones are when he runs them straight, when I have to build them straight from Bazaar or from GitHub.
I see. It's just so cool when I look in the AUR and I see like your name, or I think I've seen Theroux up there with one of them. It's like, wow, you guys are big time.
Ah, it's just a way of giving back something, isn't it? It's something small, but it helps.
Yeah, that's the Linux way.
It's always surprising when you go to AUR and there's something is not there. Oh, I've got to write a package build for that one and get it up there. So, I've got to look at Blather is the next one, Jezra's new project.
Yeah, sounds like John Culp's getting into that a lot too. So.
Oh, the video he posted was wonderful.
I'll have to look at that.
But, with him just saying the commands and controlling his computer.
Jezra's recent HPR, I guess he was recording the HPR, and his Blather thing was picking up his voice and started saying stuff at him. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did.
And then somebody joked an identical the other day, set up two computers and have them talk to each other and just see what happens.
Oh, no. So you get the bots from Identica talking to each other.
Yeah, to start talking to each other, right.
The packaging for Arch Linux... I don't know what else to say. It's something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, nice.
But what hardware are you running on tonight?
This is still the EEPC. Oh. I set up Mumble on this years ago, and I just don't touch it. This is still like Crunchbang Statler Alpha, and I've just been limping it up, like, since from 2009. my EPC and my desktop, I leave Debian-based because I don't want to mess with them. Like, I do a lot of, I do all the banking and stuff on the desktop, so when I sit down to write a check, I don't want to, you know, tweak and update stuff, but my laptop and my VPS have been Arch. Those are my toys.
Yeah, everything I've got's Arch now.
To be honest, Arch is, the updates have been like really stable. I mean, as long as you pay attention to what they're telling you to do, do this now, do this now, do this now, there's not much breakage these days.
No. I've had very few problems. Yeah, it's, a lot of people think it's going to break every time you update it, but.
Well, that's happened to me at least once in the past. especially if they roll something out and you don't do that update, and then they roll something out the next time, you've probably missed a transition package in the last one.
Yeah.
And you can get into a little trouble there.
Yeah. No, I bought an i5 for what was going to be for myself, with one of the new Realtek cards in. And it's running Mint for my quarry manager at the moment. And the drivers aren't there for it, but I just know I could get it working in Arch. We're running half of work now is running Linux.
Nice. It's
just the accounting side that's running Windows still, unfortunately.
can't pipe it through Wine, or... Have you tried?
No, I'm frightened to, really.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Accounting.
It's Sage Accounts. But,
Sorry, tax man.
Yeah.
All the files went to dev null when I put it on Linux.
Can't pay you this week. An Arch update broke the system.
All your employees are just wondering about the Arch updates, I see.
Yeah, but the sales team run on Mint. They prefer XFCE, actually. The quarry manager's using Cinnamon.
Yeah, I used the XFCE one for a while, and then I started messing around with Cinnamon. It's grown on me. It's not bad.
I'm running Razor Qt.
I see.
With OpenBox. Still as a window manager. I don't think I can give OpenBox.
OpenBox is... That's my Crunchbang EE, but let's see. On my laptop, I've been running GNOME 3. I got used to it.
Yeah.
After much tweaking and dark themes and.
It looks really nice.
I complained about the hot corner, and now I find I'm in other systems, going up to try and hit it. So, it is useful, and you do get used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the pause. That means that was topic what, 3? You should hear the raw edits. This is what it sounds like.
I need to look at Audacity to see. Audacity is still recording.
Yeah, mine always scares me. It says 22 minutes disk space remaining, but sometimes it'll say 20 hours. Sometimes it'll say 16 minutes. I never know.
I don't see any of that.
At the bottom, it says disk space remaining.
272 hours.
Oh, yeah, but I'm on a 16 gig E.
Yeah. I bought for myself, I bought a ThinkPad, an i7 ThinkPad, which is...
Boy, you get more hardware. I always see it. I'm ordering something. The last one you got from China, I think, was it i5?
Yeah, that was going to be for myself, but I say the quarry manager ended up with it because his Dell died.
Oh, you keep saying quarry manager, and I'm thinking that's a program. Oh, no. You mean the manager of the quarry.
Yeah. The chap that works for me. We managed to get recoveries files, and...
You can tell him sometimes, I thought he was quarry manager 3.0 or something.
So, yeah, managed to rip all his files off of it, and... gave him that i5. I'd installed Arch on it and just about got it up and running the way I liked it, and then I gave it away. I was using an old Acer Pentium M with a 1.4 processor in it.
Right.
I still got it. It still works. It's
Yeah, my last server, before I got the VPS, it was a Dell D410. Yeah. And that was a Pentium Mammoth, but it did the job.
Yeah. Yeah, well, mine's, there's a Mini 10. Hmm. That's what I'm running, the Samsung Mini, is it? No, Samsung, the 10-inch Samsung, whatever that was. My wife used it and the screen got started flickering and all sorts, and then that's it. I've got a job for that. So it's now the server. But, yeah, I got this i7 and it's I love it.
Nope.
It's really nice.
What make is that?
A Lenovo, it's a ThinkPad.
Oh, right.
One of the Edge ones, not one of the you can beat people up with ones. It's one of the normal ones.
The normal. You got the beat people up ones, and you got the normal ones. So
yeah, which you one got do the, you have? Yeah. The other ones are like tanks, aren't they?
Well, yeah. It's, I think they're business oriented. You know, built for the road warrior.
Yeah.
Is this the one where the top kind of can flip around and go down?
No,
like
no.
A tablet edge.
No, it's a 15-inch widescreen. It's an E530, but it's been really nice. Everything works.
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on Lenovo's for my next one. I got a Dell this time, and I'm not. It's already like showing stress cracks in the plastic, and I'm not particularly happy with it.
Hmm. No, I've got a Dell desktop, but at work, but that's an old P4. Just an old workhorse.
Right.
But that's the only Dell I've got.
So again? you're not running anything like I recently got a VPS with Linode. A Linode VPS just for fun. You're not running anything like in the cloudy clouds?
No, only my own cloudy cloud.
Yeah, that's I haven't put up anything important on it. It's StatusNet and it's Media Goblin, and I'm starting to mess around with Pump.io. Seems like I have to get SSL certs for Pump.io, I got to look into that. But we all got emails the other day that Linode has been compromised, and they're not being very forthcoming with what was compromised or where. So we're right in the middle of a break-in investigation. So,
oh dear.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have anything important up there.
Yeah, I've looked at Linode. And if I ever went that way, I think I would seriously look at going with them.
Mm.
But that doesn't sound so good.
Well, I don't think it's a common occurrence, but in the last month, I think around March 3, there was an attempted break-in to go after somebody's bitcoins. And now, just yesterday, or you know, within the last few days, there's been another breach going after. What Linode is saying is they're going after one specific account, but they're not, you know, giving us geeks all the information we want to hear, which kind of leads me to believe that maybe it is like a major investigation, like, you know, the FBI or somebody's in there and, you know, they don't want to leak any information because it will hurt their case. So this does kind of sound serious.
That's quite frightening, really. Like you say, it's good job we haven't got anything important there.
Yeah. Have you been hacking my systems, Tim Timmy?
No.
It's not you.
Not me.
FBI, don't look towards Cornwall.
I wouldn't know where to start on that sort of thing.
You got my root password.
No, that's so far above my head. It's it amazes me.
Yeah. I joke around a lot that, you know, I have backtrack and ha ha, you know, it's kind of like a little joke. Yeah, I wouldn't really know how to use it effectively. It's just, I mess around with it, and
I've written a few scripts for Wi-Fi and whatever.
Mm.
I've been asked a few times to recover passwords,
mm-hmm.
and routers, the one at work that was installed by our ISP. When I moved the server there, I wanted obviously to open port 80 and the SSH port and a few other things, and. We don't know what the password is. The router's not ours. I said, well, it's got your name on the side, and ring this number for support.
was it a Linux? It wasn't a Linux box?
No, it's a Draytech router.
Oh, I see. Because I just recently did a password reset, just going in with a live CD and chrooting to a system, change the root password.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have physical access, you have everything. That type of thing.
But some nice chap wrote a little suite of tools called DreTools, and as long as you're on the network, you can get the password. I wrote a little how-to in the Outlaws forum on that one.
Okay, cool.
Just for a note for myself for future use. It's and that the password they used was embarrassing. It was so simple.
Was it password? Was it 1234?
It's basically the company name.
Oh, jeez. Not even backwards? It was just the company name?
No, just the company name, which was, it makes me shake my head.
Isn't it amazing? Like, that just keeps coming up and keeps coming up. Terrible passwords. When are people going to learn?
It was so simple, I didn't even think of trying it when I was, had a few goes at the password.
You don't even try password 1234 anymore. Who would ever use this?
Who would use that?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, speaking of the yellow forums, they seem to be dwindling. It's sad.
Yeah, I'm
it feels like an old buddy.
Most.
Yeah.
I'm as guilty as most for not checking in so much as I ought to.
That's where you and I met. Like, we were at the early days. Like, within the first 6 or 8 months it was running.
So yeah, I got in episode 15 or 16, I got into the Outlaws.
And we all used to just hang out. A whole bunch of us just used to hang out in there all night using it like a chat room. So those were the good old days. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Get up in the morning and check what everyone had wrote.
Yeah. try and keep up on, like, threads that go 80 pages with all kinds of gimped images in them.
Oh, good old days.
But now we have social networks, which we have so many social networks, it's becoming antisocial, which is kind of strange. People are getting left in little pockets here and there.
Yeah, I haven't got a Google account, so I don't use Google+, where most of the world seems to be these days.
Yeah.
Don't use Facebook. I've got my little StatusNet account.
Yep.
And my own one, my own server.
Yeah, that's me as well. I kind of don't trust the Google. I've seen this happen before. I don't know how to explain it, but we all thought Microsoft was a monopoly, and it just seems like they are building up to be the internet, basically.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary, yeah.
Yeah, I tend not to use their services. I've just given my wife my upgrade. I'm staying with my N900. And I gave her the Samsung S3 I had. And I just installed the free market on there. Is it F-Droid, didn't it?
F-Droid, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't set up a Google account on it. There's plenty in there for her needs.
Mm.
But no, I don't use much of the Google services at all.
Yeah. Google Fellow Translate. Tinfoil hat you are.
Google Translate is about the only service I really use.
Well, I do the search. I mean, it is really good search. And yes, I use the Translate, but I don't subscribe to any of their services.
No.
Well, I do have one for the phone, but it's like something I never check. Somehow the phone syncs.
Right.
Syncs addresses and stuff like that, or phone numbers, but I suppose I need that. I would like to find a way to do that myself, like sync it to my own server. That would be great.
Yeah, someone must be working on that.
As I'm saying it, I'm wondering. So there's another HPR for someone out there. If you know how to do that, I want to hear it. All right, so cool, man. It was nice talking with you. We should have done this years ago.
Yeah, but no, well, yeah, we should have done.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting a nice pool of people I can go back and get to record with me, so I'm putting you on the list.
Anytime you like. Anytime.
All right, cool. You got any, what was that word? Contact information?
Yeah, you can reach me on probably on my StatusNet instance is probably the easiest, which is micro-timmy.dyndns.org/micro, which is a bit of a ass end of a URL. Link will be in the show note, I'm sure.
Yeah, as long as you type them up.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm nybill at gunmonkeynet.net. Or, you know, I did get my Identica going back up and running. So that's nybill at status.gunmonkeynet.net. So cool. We'll talk to you again, pal.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
All right, no problem.
See you directly. See
you.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.